Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. Today's podcast, we're going to be discussing a growing new industry within the UK's agriculture sector. And to do that, we're joined very kindly by Andrew Littler, who is the CEO of Vertically Urban. Andrew, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, Jonathan. No problem at all. My pleasure.
So the reason we're speaking with Andrew this morning is his company, Vertically Urban, are currently on Cedars, undertaking a capital raising round. But we'll discuss that later in the podcast. But to start off with Andrew, we're looking today specifically at the industry of vertical farming. Now, for people that may not be familiar with the industry, what is the sort of basics of it and how is that operating in the UK at the moment?
Absolutely. Well, currently the UK is going through a very large trend of wanting to secure food supply. And that means that indoor growing is becoming more of a trend. We've seen in the last year alone, throughout the COVID period, inquiries going from very small inquiries to very large inquiries to illuminate farms in the United Kingdom with digital lighting. And all indoor farming requires digital lighting to do that. And the best way of doing that currently and efficiently and effectively is by utilizing LED technology. The farming sector as it is at the moment is a bit of a hybrid of a mix of two sort of zones. You've got your typical glass house or greenhouse, which are wanting to grow more of all year round and use something called supplemental lighting. And then you've got your indoor large farms growing. And what you're seeing is a big increase in the sector of wanting to grow salads, leafy greens, microgreens, all in indoor farms, which are done hydroponically mostly. And it's a very large growing market at the moment, and we're seeing some very good success in engaging with customers.
So just looking at the industry now, so with the indoor farming, what's the main driver of this? I mean, is it that there is an increasing demand for salads and herbs and such that can be grown indoors, or is it a case that there are some issues with the supply side of things and the more traditional means that is forcing people to look indoors? Is this more of a demand-driven market, or is it sort of issues with the supply?
Well, I think we're not growers ourselves, so it can be quite difficult to answer that clearly. But talking to our customers who are farms, growing farms, they're seeing an increased growth from their customers of wanting to keep things a little greener is one of the things. So they wanted to grow locally and supply locally rather than importing. We import a lot of our stock from Europe or our food sources from Europe, and they're wanting to secure food sources. Food miles is a big issue. So the issue of reducing that on the carbon footprint is also a big issue. And that we're told that the likes of the customer base of their customer base of supermarkets are wanting to grow more variety of crops to be able to supply the growing trends of veganism, for example, and vegetarian taste. And also they're seeing that they're, with the looming Brexit, that there is an ideal opportunity to secure the supply chain as well locally.
Okay, so going back to 2018, it was estimated that the market was worth £1.7 billion. There are estimates that this could grow to nearly £10 billion by 2026. The US and Japan have really been leaders in this. I mean, where is the UK in a global picture in terms of its progression? I mean, is this something that's got a huge amount of growth left in this industry here in the UK?
I think the UK industry is in its infancy, from what we're seeing. It's in the early stages. If you go back to looking at over into the USA, which is a big driving factor, for example, you've got the likes of Jeff Bezos from Amazon and the SoftBank investing over $200 million in US startups into companies over there. You've got large companies such as Aerofarms and Plenty who are in the US who are attracting very large investments into the sector in the US. And that's now filtered into the UK, where a very large growing trend of customer bases are going from small startups from a few years ago into larger farms that are now growing quite largely in terms of supply chain to supermarkets. And in some cases, technology startups gaining large investment, capital investment to grow these farms. I mean, some of the people we've been talking to over the last year have gone from either glass houses and moving into sort of warehouse style indoor growing. And some of those are scaling up due to demand. And what we're seeing is that trend that's happened in Japan and places like Singapore and moved into the States is coming full circle into the UK and Europe and is creating a large demand for indoor sector farming, and it just means that you can be more efficient in water, more efficient in your space per sort of indoor hectare growing, and all done safely and pesticide free, and that's a big bonus for the UK consumers.
So, I mean, to your knowledge, Andrew, what's the, you know, for a customer going into a supermarket, what's the visibility of whether the, you know, a particular product has been grown indoors? I mean, a supermarket's making this something that they want customers to be aware of, or you know, is it still something that's being produced and you can't really tell the difference between where it's been grown and indoors? Just to give listeners an idea of the scale at the moment and how they can see it grow going forward, what they should be looking out for?
Well, I think what you should be looking out for is the label. If you walk into a supermarket today and pick a lettuce off the shelf, you can generally see the country of source and where it's come from. And I think that will change over the years to come. I think we're still in its levels of infancy where supermarkets are still importing. I think there's a change of cycle where that will change into large-scale growers that are beefing up their production and their growing capacities, and eventually over the next 12 months will trickle into the supermarket shelves. And I think you'll see that from the source. I think surprisingly you'll see that if you pick up things off the shelf, you'll see the source moving from imported from Morocco or Spain or wherever, quickly moving into sourced, you know, sourced in the UK or grown in the UK. And that will be, I think, the key factors, what you'll see, to see that sort of change in place.
Okay, fantastic. So let's focus now on Vertically Urban, Andrew. So we obviously discussed very briefly at the beginning that you're a specialist in the lighting side of things, but where do you fit in the overall supply chain, and how involved is Vertically Urban with the production process?
So Vertically Urban is a focused entry into the lighting market for vertical farming and glasshouse farming. We've seen a paradigm shift moving away from lighting, which has been sort of traditional HDI lamps or other types of standard lighting solutions that have been around for years in glass houses growing, moving into LED technology. And the reason for that shift is that you're able to focus photons of light where they're needed. So the amount of light where it's needed on a crop indoors safely in a low profile environment. Before this happened, you know, we were depending on lots of hectares of greenhouses doing this. And in winter months, you'd see supplemental lighting or anything at all, trying to boost yields. And now what's happening with Vertically Urban, we're seeing a very big focus onto technical digital lighting been installed into vertical farms. And what we're able to do is to offer a very low profile fitting, which is only 8 millimeters deep, which allows the grower to stack a lot higher. Vertical farms are layers of stacked growing trays or growing systems, and they grow to certain heights, whether they're growing microgreens or growing leafy greens or salad. And what our product allows us to do is to allow the grower to stack a lot higher, in some cases getting a better yield per square meter. And we're doing that by utilizing the best photon yielding LEDs that's available to us, with our own proprietary extraction techniques for photon extraction, coupled with our manufacturing technologies and control technologies, so that you can zone, compartmentalize, and create different sectors within the growing area, so that effectively you've got a full grown controlled environment. And this sort of methodology comes inspired from sort of NASA in the space station, where they grow hydroponically in the space station. This has now come down onto planet Earth, as it were. Yeah. And we're now seeing this shift into this new technology that's been around for now for some years, but it's hit the point where the return on investment is good for a ratio of growing to return investment for farms. And we're seeing now urban farms growing. We're seeing smaller farms in London taking advantages of spaces that need to produce in very tight, small spaces, niche farms that grow locally to attend to the local restaurant businesses and the local consumer base. And we're seeing very large farms that are growing around the UK that are going to be supplying supermarket chains. And where we fit in is providing a turnkey solution for the growers or the farmers to install a manufactured and designed in Britain product that is revolutionary in its output and its design, very flexible in its format. What we're seeing is a lot of our clients or a lot of our partners that we're working with don't always want something that's off the shelf. The reason for this is because they're looking to create the next generation, the next level of lighting. Studies are seeing wavelengths of light produce different flavors, flavor enhancing technologies or techniques for growing. And we're also seeing farms or growers or designers creating a system that's flexible to create for the future. So you may see other crops coming in to be indoor grown. And what they're doing is adding that level of redundancy into their design so that they can switch on or turn on different grows of the month, specialty crop that will come out or become more on trend with the consumer. And they've got to provide that level of flexibility in a farm to do so. So what we're providing is that level of flexibility from the outset, and showing people and showing farmers how they can do that by either managing the expectation of what they grow, or indeed creating levels of multi-channel lighting systems so that they can accommodate for whichever crop they want to grow in there.
Okay, fantastic. So you're on seeders at the moment. You have a funding target of 300,000, which you're well on the way to meeting, not far off. So people that will be looking at investing in yourselves through seeders will always want to know what the competitive landscape looks like in your industry. So you've obviously mentioned there that you offer bespoke solutions, but I mean, who else is out there offering similar things? I mean, is it a case that the existing competitor is just very much sort of standard, a standard lighting system, or are there actually indeed other people out there that are realizing this and sort of coming in with bespoke lighting? What does your sort of competitive landscape look like at the moment?
I think a competitive landscape, if you look at where we are today and look at where the industry's come from the last 10 years, you look at the companies that are players in the marketplace, such as GE and Signify, Veolia, the Heliospectras and the Fluences of the world. They've all come from the industry and been in this for some time. What you'll notice from there is some of those names are from the lighting industry and have a division for horticulture. And they're predominantly interested in selling volume and supplying into large-scale projects. But what they seem to be able to offer is a product that's essentially a standard product, which is box shift in volume. What we're able to do in the competitive landscape is offer a solution that is both standard and competitive with our European counterparts, but also we're able to offer a solution. What we're seeing is when you go to a lot of the growers, they don't necessarily want what's available to them. They're looking for a solution. And what we've got is what we call a sort of a, almost like a bit of a Lego box of kit of parts. We've got standard product. And within that standard product, we've got building blocks. So we can build different light levels or different spectrums within that form factor. But in some cases, we're also able to deliver a completely bespoke solution. And the reason for that, farms know are becoming to with their bioscientists, learning to know what they exactly want from spectrum wavelengths, from different colours. And they're now coming to us with a specification of and wanting to work with us as a technology partner, as a design partner. And we're creating unique solutions for them where they can add value to their business, grow and add value to their solutions business or their farms, and grow a unique offering which creates in their system a unique offering, whether that's through robotic movement within the farms or whether that's through having human intervention within the farms. And whatever you do in terms of the landscape internally, there is a demand for either one of a very equal split really from standard product with a variation, or custom solutions that are completely designed and developed from the ground up with as a partner. And 50% of our pipeline today is coming from bespoke solutions, because a lot of these companies are sort of technology companies and driving UK advancements and wanting to create their own solutions. And 50% are already in industry wanting to use the latest generation of technology, which Vertically Urban brings to the party. Now, what we also bring to the party is flexibility. And what a lot of the companies out there don't offer is a level of flexibility, because they're into designing, developing systems that are more driven at volumes, where we're driven both at volume and custom solutions, which allows us to is still allowing us to get a foot in the door and create a bespoke solution that's tailor-made for the project. But also, it's also allowing us to get our standard products, such as our Horti Blade, which has multiple options of spectrum, in an environment in trials, which is then gaining recognition as a key product in the marketplace. And we're very proud to say it's made in Britain.
Lovely, lovely. So, Andrew, let's just look at the financials now of Vertically. And of course, this is very relevant to the Seeders round. You're raising 300,000. What is that going to be spent on? Where are those funds going to be allocated to? And what are the key targets and milestones investors could be looking for from you over the next sort of 3 to 5 years?
So if we look at currently where we're at and as we've evolved through the Seeders engagement, we are at the moment when we've raised hit our target, we're looking to increase our team. We know that we need to hire dedicated sales team individuals to expand our horizons globally. We're already talking to customer base in the US and Canada, and talking to clients in Switzerland and Sweden and the Nordics. And what we need to do, we need to expand our team with business development managers or account managers to deal with that, and also to develop our international relationships with partners or resell partners. We're also working very heavily with a team in the Middle East. As you can imagine, the Middle East is one of those places where indoor growing has to be done in a controlled environment, because the desert heat doesn't allow to. So we're seeing some big demand over there, for example. Then we would like to move into more of our development and fine tuning for manufacturing. So we've got a few new products that are in the pipeline of development that address different sectors in the marketplace, which is also growing. And then we've got our brand awareness. We are seeking to increase our brand awareness via trade shows, case studies, literature, brand awareness by opportunity, and also, articles and promotion and our digital digital media or digital social media as well. So those are the real areas of where we're going to invest the seed round into, so we can grow our opportunities. And at the moment, we've got a pipeline of opportunities over £30 million, which at the moment we are on track to be securing between sort of £3 and £5 million of order book in the new year, which would be fantastic, which would, I think, supersede our initial expectations. And so we're at the moment we're looking to have a great 21, and all the signs are looking very positive with some of the contracts and some of the orders that we've got on track at the moment for the new year. And hating to say, COVID hasn't stopped it. It's accelerated it more than anything. We're in one of these sectors where COVID hasn't had a negative effect on our market. In fact, it's helped towards the boom of the indoor farming sector. Beg your pardon. And what we're seeing is that our inquiry levels have gone through the roof. Our engagement levels with our customers are being fast tracked. They're in demand to increase their levels of farms, which is allowing our growth and our expectations to be somewhat at the moment conservative. But we're going to see rapid accelerations. What we see.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So just to finish off now, Andrew. Now with Sodus, of course, you're a private company, so there's no immediate secondary market. So investors will be looking, you know, what your plan is for the future in terms of providing them with an exit. I mean, do you think this is a business? You know, most businesses, private businesses, when they raise capital, look for a trade sale or it would be a listing. I mean, what's your idea? And obviously, things can change, but at this point in time, what is your your plans, and where would you like things to go for the business?
Well, I think we've got three opportunities, exit opportunities, and those three one of those three will include a trade sale, an IPO, or a financial institution may look to invest or become partners or buy. But I think at the moment we're so heavily focused on the raise and the growth of the business. I think things will take its natural course over the years. But I can't deny that one of those three opportunities will invariably come along the way that the market's growing, the way we're growing. And I would probably see one of those three exits being taken up.
Fantastic. So, Andrew, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
More than welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, if you do check out the notes, you're listening to this, check out the notes to the podcast. There will be a link through to the Vertically Urban Seeders page where you can find out more information and make any allocations that you would wish to through the Seeders platform. So, Andrew, once more, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jonathan.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.